Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Mrs. Carrie Spence has been serving at camp since 2009 and now works here full-time. She raises her four kids out here every summer, as well as taking care of all the counselors. She exemplifies the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that serves so well, as in addition to all of her other responsibilities, we call her the laundry fairy, as she's always getting our laundry done for us. She'll talk with us about finding confidence and overcoming her strongholds and the importance of fighting life's battles with truth from Scripture. I pray that this episode today leads you flipping through the pages of your Bible to find truth to face your giants. Today we have Miss Carrie Spence with us, one of the directors at Camp Chioka. So Miss Carrie, what have you taken away from camp to your life outside of here?
Well, for me, the biggest impact in my life was, it was a gradual process, but it like really all came to a head, I think, the summer that we were talking about our strongholds and God's truths in our lives and just knowing that God made me to be the way that I am, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and accepting that that my gifts are unique to me, and that's okay, that I don't have to look like this person or that person, because it's so easy to compare ourselves, especially when you get to the opportunity to work with so many amazing people out here that have so many talents that don't usually do not look like mine, but that's okay because that's what makes us the team that we are and lets us to be able to accomplish what we can for the Lord here because we are all different and we all have different talents.
Absolutely, and I see that so evident at camp, how everyone has different talents and really seeing them work together as the body of believers, which is so beautiful. And I know I wasn't here for the stronghold year, but I've heard so much about it from so many people, and I know it's been referenced on the podcast, so will you explain like what a stronghold is and just what that looks like for all of y'all that year?
Well, so I'll talk about, so we, all of us as leaders wrote our strongholds, which are the lies that we believe about ourselves, and we wrote these all down and had a time where we revealed those to each other, and, you know, like someone would say, I'm not good enough. And yet, you know, we all look at this person as being so amazing and so talented. Yeah. And how could we do this without them? Or, you know, I'm not. One of my biggest ones is that I don't think I'm pretty enough. And that was very hard for, you know, me to talk about. And like standing in front of a mirror is like the most dreaded thing I do. I never look at myself hardly ever in a mirror. And being a, you know, being able to admit that and talk about that, and like that's just something I've struggled with ever since I was young, and then especially as I get older and you know, the weight comes on and all the stuff that unfortunately comes with getting older. It doesn't make it any easier. But you know, just someone thinking that they, you know, are not a good speaker, or just the lies that the world tells us that we believe about ourselves, and hearing those come from other people when we think the absolute opposite, and then being able to speak God's truth, you know, to put God's word in comparison to the lies that we do, we believe and that we struggle with so much, and to put God's word in contrast to that, and like learn to repeat God's word in our head when we start to have those doubts about ourselves. It was amazing. And then to be able to see that the campers be able to learn that at such a young age, you know. I know we were talking recently, and I said, I can't imagine what my life would have been had I learned that at that formidable age, to where it could, you know, it could have shaped my entire life differently. Mm-hmm. If I would have believed in myself as a younger person, as I can finally now as an older adult.
I love what you said, that the way other people saw y'all was totally contrary to the thing you struggled with.
It was crazy.
Because that's something Brittany says as like my boss now all the time to encourage me. She's like, Megan, you are so confident and what God's given you. And I'm like, I feel like I just walk around in a sack of insecurity every day. So it's so funny to hear like how people really see us as God sees us, and like how God wants to see us. So what is important to you about truth in Scripture to combat the lies that are in our heads?
You know, like God's word should be our first go-to in anything, any decision that we're making, and so also in who we are, you know, that we're going to find truth in who we are in God's word. So anytime, you know, that I'm questioning, you know, a decision, it needs, my first go-to needs to be the word. And am I making a decision that's honoring God's word and the direction that God would have me to go? So the Bible is my go-to.
Absolutely. And I assume that's like would be your advice to someone who's trying to find truth, like trying to be themselves as God does.
Yes.
What like passages of scripture do you go to? What, like, what's your thing that you cling to? Is there one verse or one something?
Well, I have, like I said, one of my big ones is "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." I have that on a plaque that's in front of my mirror, to remind myself when I don't want to look that I can look at that verse and know, and remember that. And I remind myself often, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways, that verse, and that his plans for us are to prosper and not to harm. Because fear, I'm a what if person.
Yeah.
And those fears and those what ifs can take control. And so I have to step back and remind myself that God is leading the way. And I know I heard one of y'all say recently, that God will direct our paths, but we have to be moving in order for that to happen. And that was like, I heard that, I wrote that down. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And so how true that is. So not only do we have to, you know, look to the Bible for truth, but we also have to be willing to go with what we're reading and be able to, you know, accept what the word is telling us.
Yeah. And we talk about this a lot, but accepting the truth even when we don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, your feelings aren't always the most valid things or the compass to go by. Yeah, so watching you be a mother to four and, like, Kate and Maggie, I see them most, but just, like, watching you raise them and love them, and specifically daughters, it's hard, like, as a woman walking through and, like, knowing what girls face and just all, like, the hard things that they're going to have to go through. So how do you intentionally love them well when they're things, like, you still wrestle with?
The first thing is speaking God's truth to them.
Yeah.
When they're upset about something, you know, the first thing is we stop and we speak God's truth and we pray. And I try to remember how I felt. You know, everybody's feelings are valid, whether we totally understand them or, you know, we may feel the total opposite. It doesn't make their feelings any less valid. So I always try to remember that, when they're struggling with something.
Mm-hmm. And then what are just kind of some, like, basic things you try to instill in your kids as whole people?
God first,
mm-hmm.
for all of them, my boys and my girls. And that all of their decisions are God-honoring. And I value being willing to serve. I know I try not to take that to... like, I'm hardwired that way, and I know not everybody is hardwired that way. So I try to remember that with my kids, but at the same time, I think it's very important to serve. And so making sure they understand that and have opportunities to do that, which they all do and enjoy it, thankfully, in the way that I do for the most part. And
it's just cool seeing, like, everyone's different skill sets and, like, the ways that we're called to serve
aren't
the same. And, like, even sweet Maggie, she's, like, 10, right?
Yes.
And whatever I need, she's like, I'll get it for you. I'm not trying to take advantage of her, but she literally just wants to help.
Yeah.
And, like, wants to do whatever she can to, like, make our jobs easier.
Yeah.
Which is just so sweet about all of them. And then you kind of said this at the beginning, and we were talking about it in the gym the other day, but just how differently your childhood would have been had you had a place like this. Can you talk more about that?
So I did not ever have an opportunity to go to church camp. By the time I was in middle school, I was attending church alone. Like, I would get my parents to drop me off, and I attended alone. And then on Sunday mornings and then on Sunday nights, I went to youth group with a friend of mine who I'm so grateful to her parents for being willing to come and pick me up and make sure I was there. You know, so, like, that's, I've seen that play out in my life, because there were so many things that I didn't get to do because I didn't have a ride. And So I'm on the road all the time with my kids because I probably take that to a whole nother extent. Yeah. I don't want them to miss out on anything or any opportunities. But I message that family on a continual basis of how thankful I am, the time that they invested in me and those hard conversations that we had at youth group. You know, just things like that, trying to grasp in my mind eternity and, you know, God always being here and things like that, and having that adult in my life that I could have those conversations with. So, so I was intentional from a young age to be at church and surrounded by, Christians and like-minded people. And, you know, that wasn't always easy when everybody else wanted to at home slept in and, you know, that kind of thing. And, I'm thankful that I had people in my life to make that happen.
See, that's incredible that in middle school, like, you had the desire for God. And do you literally just credit that to His grace? Or, like, how did you desire Him even when that's not what you were raised wanting?
I don't know. It's just, like, my earliest memories are in church standing next to my grandmother. Like, those are some of my very first memories. And so I've always had a love for the Lord and always had a desire to seek after Him. And I know it's something He placed in my heart and that I've been willing to listen to. And so that's the big thing, being willing to listen to that.
I love that. And it's just cool how many stories there are with, like, friends who took people to church, and just how that's changed lives, like people taking people to camp and how that's changed lives is so special. So then as, like, a mother and trying to be a mother, like you said, you didn't, like, have that figure for, where do you see that as, like, fitting into God's plan for, like, motherhood? Like, what did He design that to be?
What did He design motherhood to be?
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I mean, as a mother, we tend to be the nurturer for our children. And whereas dad is more the spiritual leader, but sometimes as moms, we have to take on that role also. So I think as moms, you know, flexibility is key. And God gives us so many gifts for parenting our children. You know, I thank Him that He gave me, that He entrusted my children to me, and that all that, you know, that I am leading them in a way that is pleasing to Him.
That's what's so beautiful for me is, like, as you lead them and just seeing you love them so much and, like, you get so excited for them. And then I just picture God getting, like, so excited for us and just see the heart of the Father and all of the parents, like, out here and in my own. So we talked about this in Lauren Mosher's podcast as well, but there's, like, the family. It's iconic to camp, like, all these families that have grown up together and friendships that have stuck. And I know y'all have kind of, like, been adopted into one of the groups that's grown up here. What have all of those families meant to y'all?
Oh, it's been amazing to be a part of that and be loved by them and feel accepted, and just always knowing that you have somebody that's always got your back and is always going to be there in a drop of a hat and is always there to cheer you on and is always there to pick you up.
Yeah,
I mean, they've walked through some dark times with me and been there to cheer me on in the good times, and it's just amazing to have that support. Our family's not around here, and even when they were, it wasn't the same. Yeah. So it's been awesome to feel like we had that family here.
Yeah, and why do y'all value that? Because I know a lot of parents, once they have kids, kind of become consumed within their own households. But for y'all to still have, like, your own friends who are walking through the same seasons of life, and, like, Miss Tammy and, like, all these other women, what does that mean for you to have them?
Well, for me, you know, I think it's important for them to have as many adults in their life that they can have that are modeling, you know, a good family and loving on all of our kids like they do, because, I mean, I have my, you know, it goes back to the whole gifts and talents that God gives us, and the way that we, you know, exposing them to even more of that and seeing all the different ways that families can work, I think, is the healthiest way to do that.
Because
we certainly don't have it right. And it doesn't mean the next one has it right either. But as a collective whole, I think it gives them the most love and the broadest experience and wisdom to draw from. Because having, you know, people with a wisdom like that in your life is such a blessing.
That's what I see so evidently through that, is it really does take a village.
Oh, definitely.
And it's so cool to see how y'all influence and love one another. And then kind of going more back to camp directly, so that's like how you made all these friends, but you spend most of the year out here with like you, Brittany, John Luke, and Reeves. And you do lots of email answering, lots of phone call answering, lots of like logistics. And then over summer, like you do our laundry and you just are so kind and so humble in the way that you love us. So where does that like spirit come from to be able to like sit there and do things year round when you're not necessarily seeing the rewards for it yet?
I mean, I guess it's just, you know, that all has to happen in order for the summer to happen like it needs to. And so if you lay that groundwork, then it just makes the summer even that much better.
Yeah. I just admire y'all's discipline so much. And it's just beautiful knowing that y'all are here year round. Like when I'm at school, the good things are still happening at camp. And what does it mean to you as a mom to have your kids out here all summer? What is like the importance of camp in a kid's life, that like the reason that you work here?
You know, there's so many things that I love about camp and it being in my kids' lives. And, you know, first of all, it's learning to love and know Jesus in a way that you don't get to experience anywhere else, you know, like in church and in Bible class, you know, that's 2.5-3 hours a week and that's it. And then, but being able to just live it here and feel the Lord in a way out here that we so rarely get to do when we're out in our daily lives the rest of the year, is such an amazing experience. And I always say it's kind of like, you know, here at camp, it's like turning back time. We're not on our phones. And there's all these games that you get to play that we played when we were young that we don't do anymore. And just taking that time to slow down. It takes getting away from your everyday life. And you're kind of, you know, you're forced into that out here. I don't know if that's the right word. But, you know, that's just the way it is here. And so it's been awesome for them to be able to take that step back and refresh and renew out here every summer.
Yes. And then what would you tell yourself before ever coming to camp for that first time?
As a camper?
No, like as an adult, like when you came in 2009.
It was just like, for us, it was an opportunity to serve. In 2009, the camp was turned into a nonprofit, and it had been sitting pretty much unused for a couple of years and was in really bad shape. And so it was fun to be able to come out here and serve and alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to see that renewing of camp and bringing it back to life again. And the community that we had in doing that.
Yeah, which is so cool for me, having showed up last year, and I feel like the bunks have been used every single year ever. But I think that probably a lot of like that passion that I see in like you and your friend group for camp comes from that time that it was closed.
Oh yeah.
That they so passionately want to give it all that they have now. Yeah. And then what do you want to tell yourself in a couple months from now, when all the counselors and campers are gone and it's just the crew back in the office?
Well, it's kind of like you have to hit reset when you start all over, you know, in a couple of months from now, we'll be getting applications in and starting our interviews and looking at the next summer, and already we're looking at the next summer and planning for it, but just, you know, reflecting on what we did right, what we wish we would have done different. And just, you know, hopefully a couple months from now, I'm just going to be praising that we had a month of July, you know, that there's still this summer. I say it's just been a roller coaster. We have been on such a roller coaster ride of emotions and all the changes. And, you know, you feel like, okay, you know, what's going to happen now. And then the next day, everything's changed again. And so it's been hard. It's been a hard summer emotionally.
Which we keep saying, it'll be so interesting to listen to these podcasts in August through December, because We assume we're having camp next week, but we're still saying
we are having camp next week. I feel confident that high school week is going to happen. I'll be shocked if it doesn't.
But. So what have you learned about flexibility in all of these changes and being the one that has to like break a lot of hard news to parents and stuff like that?
I hate being the bearer of bad news, but thankfully, for the most part, our parents have been extremely gracious and understanding and thankful for the communication. You know, they're all as sad as we are. Nobody's, you know, there's been very few that have been, you know, like we could have made any other decision.
Yeah.
Doing the best that we can. And so everybody's just looking for next summer, the ones that have had to, unfortunately, back out because of their situations.
Yeah. But what have you learned about God from this season of uncertainty?
That He's always going to provide.
Oh.
You know, just when things just seem impossible, then He always provides. He always shows the way. He always brings the right person into the picture that's going to make it happen. And so just trusting, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier, that His plans are greater than our, mm-hmm. our ways. And so I just have to trust in that and know, and He always gives me the will to keep going and send that next text and answer that next phone call.
Yeah. That's what I keep saying I love about Camp Chick, is that everyone literally just texts Miss Carrie, like all these campers. It's not this big system. It's not this big anything. It's literally just the people, and just that, like, they have that access to our staff and, like, to our counselors, I think is so beautiful. And that's what I keep reminding myself, is God's, like, planning for our eternities. He's not just planning for this one summer.
Yes.
And, like, His plan is greater than one summer, which is humbling, like, to us, that we get to be an avenue, like, when He so loved us. But can I pray for us?
Yes.
God, thank You so, so much for Miss Carrie and for her servant's heart that she has for camp. And just the way that campers are blessed by it year round in the organization and in the plans and in all the logistics. God, that camp is able to happen because of the heart and the diligence that goes behind that. Lord, we pray over our campers that whatever plans You hold for them this summer and this fall, Lord, we trust that You are leading them closer to You and closer to Your heart. God, You are stretching us in so many ways that we never asked for, but we know that those ways are good, and we know that those ways are bringing us closer to the heart of who You are and the heart of why we're here, as people and relationships, and just remembering that we have no control, but that it's all in Your hands. God, thank You for guidance and friendship and support and love as we try to break our strongholds. We pray over all of our campers listening. Lord, I pray that You would lead them into prayer after this time to identify their strongholds, and that they would seek truth, they would seek scripture, and they would seek community to combat those strongholds, Lord, because You want them to walk in freedom. You want them to walk as beloved sons and daughters. God, we thank You so much for the family that we have here at camp. We thank You so much for the kingdom that You're building on earth and that we get to be a part of it. Lord, we love You so much. We love being Your sons and daughters. And I just pray that we would all be able to see ourselves as You see us, so that we could live fully to the potential that You have for us. We love You so much. In the name of Your Son that we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioka, and live knowing that you are loved.